You want to encourage someone? You know, a lot of young people, if they're aimless and don't know what to do, what do? They go rent a DVD and they watch that, get their mind off of everything. You want to really have a profitable time encouraging someone that needs encouragement? Don't rent a DVD. That erases spiritual benefit. Encourage them through the scriptures. I mean, can you imagine how much money you'd save if you didn't rent a DVD and all of you just brought your Bibles and read them? I know at the beginning it sounds kind of dumb and you all feel uncomfortable, but boy, after a little while, when everyone's heart starts warming up, all of a sudden the scripture begins to encourage. And look at the result at the end of verse 4, that we might have hope. Entertainment will distract us. The scriptures encourage and give us enduring hope. Here's another one. Keep going to the right, because it says in Ephesians 5, so keep going, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5, that the fourth reason we should read the Bible is that the word-filled life is the way we take a hot shower. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, life is dirty and gritty. Life is hot and sweaty. And before the day starts and after the day ends are two great times to take a shower for people that work and get dirty in life, right? You come home. I remember my dad used to come home from General Motors and, you know, he had oil sprayed on him. And I mean, the first thing, he just went right into the shower. 46 years he worked there. Boom, he went in there. And he had to get cleaned off so that he wouldn't get the couch dirty. Well, is it any less for a believer? Jesus reminds the disciples when he washed their feet. We get our feet dirty as we walk through life. It's the word that washes us so we can come to the table of fellowship with God cleansed. Ephesians 5:26 says this, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Now, in the context, the her is the wife, and is also in the wider context, the church by Christ. But in the personal context, what it's saying is the word of God cleanses us. In fact, another verse just to think of is 1 Peter 1:22, and it says that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. When we are in this book, it is like taking a hot shower. It's the way we get cleansed from the grit and the grime and the dirt and the sweat of this world. It's the way we come in to God's presence, clean and pure. We're sanctified. We're cleansed by the word. Did you know you and I can do that every day, all day long? In fact, it's not just the mechanical reading of the Bible. It's also the allowing the Bible to fill our lives, and it's constantly cleansing us. Kind of like putting in that, there used to be some oil that they said when you put in your car, it was always cleaning the inside of your engine. I don't know if that's true, but that was a good selling point. And that's true, though, about the Bible. It does purify, 1 Peter 1:22, our souls. While you're in Ephesians, look at chapter 6 and verse 16. Another reason I read the Bible is the word-filled life. Being in the Word every day is the way we get our weapons to win the war. Starting in verse 16 of Ephesians 6, it says, take the shield of faith by which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now look at verse 17 of chapter 6. And take the helmet of salvation. Now here it is. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word-filled life is the way we get our weapons to win. If the devil tempts you or if your flesh tempts you somewhere, the only offensive weapon, the only attack at our flesh, the only attack at the world around us, the only attack at the habits and the chains that bind us is the sword wielded by the Holy Spirit of the Word of God inside of us. It doesn't work if it's sitting on the shelf. It doesn't work if it's just a tape out there, if it's a plan, if it's an electronic device. What has to happen is it has to come into our lives. And God we'll use it and unleash it. Look at the book of Hebrews with me. You're in Ephesians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. And we'll get to chapter 4, or chapter 5, and verse 14. Because this is another thing. I noticed I was driving down 61st Street, and boy, the health clubs are packed. The one right up here next door to us. That's what always happens. Right after New Year's, it's kind of like the Goodwill. That's packed with all of last year's stuff. Everyone's dumped off there. And the health clubs are packed with people. They're all there on those bicycles, and they're just going wild. They won't be there in February, I can assure you. You know, there'll be lots of parking spaces. We all think about that momentarily. But look what it says in Hebrews 5:14. Solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use use, have their senses exercise to discern both good and evil. What's he saying there? You've got to exercise your spiritual life. You got to use this book. And the word-filled life is the way we get our exercise. We have to be engaging and eating this, and it exercises our senses. You know, I was thinking of all the things that I could mention that would show your senses would come up. I mean, I could talk about different periods of antiques, you know, and some of you, if I named some of those periods, you would just come alive because that's what you could spot those a mile away. I mean, if I talked about glassware, you know, the difference between pressed glass and depression glass and the idea in porcelains of occupied Japanese or, I mean, there's so many people that study these things. I mean, in stamps, you know, the imperfects and the Farley issues. I mean, if we went into, I mean, when I go to a rummage sale, I just, without even thinking about it, I turn over each piece of silver and I look for sterling, you know, because I remember when I used to go to rummage sales with my mother, I had the good eyes and I had to turn over each piece of silver and find the ones marked sterling silver because I had my senses exercised to discern the ones that were valuable. Another thing I used to do, I hate to confess, you know, confession is good for the soul. But did you know that a real pearl is rough and fake pearls are not? And so do you know how you know a real pearl necklace? When nobody's looking at the rummage sale, if it's not too dirty, you take the necklace and you rub it on your tooth. If it scrapes, it's a real pearl. Do you know how many people are selling real pearl necklaces from their grandmother at a rummage sale for a quarter? Man, my mom always made me go, you know, she had unreal teeth. And so it didn't work on those. So I was looking for the sterling and scraping the pearls on my teeth. And people used to think I was trying to eat. They say, that isn't a candy necklace. I go, I know it's not. It's pearl. My mom says, shh, don't tell him. I'm trying to buy it for a quarter. You know? But see, you get your senses exercised. Some of you can spot a good real estate deal because that's all you think about. Some of you can spot a good business deal, a good financial deal. You know an antique when you see it. You can spot an incredibly valuable piece of furniture that nobody knows is good. Why? Because you've exercised your senses that you can see the sterling, the pearls, or the, you know, lake country era or whatever it is you collect. You know that because you exercise that. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 5? You got to exercise your soul. By reason of use in the Word of God, you exercise your senses. Okay, that's why we read the Word of God.